Sunday morning and get all this put together, and I appreciate each one that does it. And didn't know if we'd have Brother Jake here in time today, and it worked out that we did, but we were scrambling before the service. A lot of times people come in, they don't realize what all's going on behind the scenes. And so anyhow, if somebody didn't say hello to you or shake your hand, it wasn't because they hate you. It's probably because they had about 10 things they were trying to do this morning and get all that taken care of. And so we are thankful that you are here. And if nobody shook your hand, Taryn will after the service, all right? And Taryn, whoever comes to you, you just keep them there for like an hour and a half. And they won't be searching for handshaking next week, all right? All right, Acts chapter number 17. If you're there, I want you to say amen. And it's easy to find in the New Testament right after the Gospels. And anyhow, I got to crying during that last song. Got snot moving. Is everybody all right? Don't act like y'all know what that is, all right? And so if anything comes out, it's holy, all right? All right, take your Bibles. Acts chapter 17. We'll start reading in 16, verse 16. And so if you can get that, and do y'all have that up there? I notice the screens are kind of, there we go, all right. So chapter 17, and we'll look at, starting in verse number 16, we'll read for a little bit, all right? The Bible says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, I already know God is in the scripture. Amen, amen, Jesse. Is everybody all right? Some of y'all ain't got it, and the reason you ain't got it is because you're probably a Florida fan and lost. But if you're a Bulldog, you know. Hey, hallelujah. But anyhow, I ain't seen Gainesville in the scripture yet. Tallahassee. Amen. Miami. Is everybody all right? But God set him off a special place in Athens. Public service announcement. It's all right. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And doesn't that explain Athens right now? All right. All right. Let's get serious. All right. So Paul is waiting. He's already escaped harm, and he is waiting for others to join him. He is in Athens. And the Bible says that his spirit was stirred in him because as he walked around Athens, as he walked around this town, around this city, he seen that they were completely given over to idolatry. All right. So the Bible says, verse number 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. And so there were several people that he dealt with in several areas that he dealt with. He started in the synagogues, which was a way that the Jews, they gathered together to hear the word of God. So it was just naturally the right place to have this kind of conversation. And so Paul starts in the synagogue. Then we see he does with devout persons, which should probably be some of the priests and different folks around this area or the religious leaders of the area. And then the Bible says that he met with them in the market daily. In other words, Paul, as he went about his daily life, he had discussions about what he seen in Athens. The Bible says, in verse number 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. Little g there, all right? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. All right? So this was foreign to them. Does everybody get that? He's over here. Paul is daily going about his life. He's preaching in the synagogues. He's preaching to the devout people. He's preaching in the market daily. And he's preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. And for these people, come on, help me right here. It seems very odd. Matter of fact, they accuse him of introducing new little g's or little gods, if you will, idols to them, okay? The Bible says, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, I think, all right? Now, what you need to know about this and what's going to help this preacher out a lot is this same word is Mars Hill, all right? So there, where they took him was their religious center or their educational center, if you will. They held court here at this Areopagus, all right? They held court there. They were devout people from Athens there. And so this was a center, if you will, of education, religion, culture, you name it. It happened right here. And later, it will be referred to as Mars Hill. It's the same thing, all right? The same place, all right? So they brought him to this place. And the Bible says, let's see here. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were, which were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And so these people, especially these philosophers, they were there and they were grabbing a hold of anything that somebody would bring. Is everybody understanding that? The Bible says that they were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. It reminds me of today. Can I get a witness? We got a bunch of philosophers. They're grabbing a hold of anything. They're Googling, how do I be saved? They're Googling, how do I have obtain eternal life? Used to, they went to a person that called Jesus, but now they go to Google. Is everybody all right? We're living in this day and time. People want to tell you what they believe, and people want to hear something new. They don't want to hear about a bloody sacrifice on Calvary. They don't want to hear about only one way into heaven. They don't want to hear about a Savior who hung on a cross, looked like a weakling, and died. That is exactly why the Jews have a problem with Jesus. They expected Jesus to come back as their Messiah and for him to conquer and reign. But yet he came back as a lamb, or he came the first time as a lamb, and he offered himself, gave himself. The Bible says his life wasn't taken from him, but that he gave his life. And this was a strange doctrine to them. This was a strange teaching to them because they had never heard of this. And so Paul addresses them in verse number 22. The Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, which was that funny looking word, Areopagus, that we've seen earlier in the scripture. Same place. Paul stands up in the middle of this with every Democrat, every Republican. I'm joking, by the way. It was every dignitary, if you could, every person of importance was there because this was the center of education and knowledge and religion, and everybody was to hear about this new doctrine or this new religion. And so Paul stands up and in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. He says, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, all right, this, by the way, this word devotions right here literally means the gods that you worship, all right? So here's what Paul is saying. For as I passed by and beheld the gods that you worship, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul said, you got a lot of little g's. He said, but I'm here to introduce you to the capital G. Is everybody all right? See how Athens, capital G, anyhow, you'll get it later, all right? But anyhow, he says, verse number 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. We need that message today. The Bible says, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations. I'm going to stop right there because I stop every time I read this passage of scripture. Matter of fact, I almost posted something about it this week, but somebody would get all upset if I did. But the Bible says that God hath made of, or hath made of one blood all nations of men. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what language you speak. According to the Bible and according to scripture, we all have the same blood. Is everybody all right? You don't like people because of their color. You don't like people because of the way they talk. You don't like people because they don't have the same culture that you do. But God loved them just as much as he loved you. And when he died on that cross, he died for the white man. He died for the black man. He died for the Jew. He died for the Gentile. It was one blood that he come to save, and it is one blood that he made all men out of. And made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And the Bible says, and that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I need you to hear me today. If you're sitting in this building and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I got good news for you. He ain't very far away from you today. He's very close. He's very near, and he wants to save you today. The Bible says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. And the times, listen, these verses are important. All right, there's a lot that we learned. A lot of context has been given. We know where we're at. We know what, where, who we're talking to. We know the message that's being preached. All right, we have already described Jesus, but I want you to notice right here, this is where the rubber meets the road. Paul says to these people that are worshiping all these little G's, he said, that unknown God that you have there, he's the big G. He's a true and living God. He created it all. He created man, and he came and died for man. Now listen, here we go. These two verses are important. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. What is he saying? He says the times of us worshiping little G's, the times of you looking towards something else for salvation. He said these times of this ignorance and the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, oh, I need somebody to help me. But now, God ain't winking at it no more. See, God, see, back in the day, I need somebody to help me. Say, well, I preach, I don't understand that. Back in the day, God wasn't after them Gentiles. Oh, is everybody all right? If you're not all right, you need to come to Bible college. Jesus came to the Jews first. God was God, his people were the Hebrews, all right, the Jews. And so God did not deal with the Gentiles. And so when the Bible says in the times of this ignorance God winked at, it's talking about back in those times when the Gentiles didn't know any better. Back in those times where they worshiped whomever and whatever and whenever. Is everybody all right? They didn't know any better. So God winked at it that time. He says, but now God commandeth all men everywhere. That's Jew, that's Gentile, that's it, that's even if you don't want to be. Is everybody all right? But now commandeth, say it with me, all. Everybody say it with me. Now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Check out this next verse. Because he hath appointed a day. Oh, Paul wasn't playing. Man, this was a short message. I need somebody to help me. Some of you wishing it's going to be as short as Paul's, but it ain't because you don't understand the Bible, so I have to explain it to you. Is everybody all right? So Paul's standing up there. He's preaching this message, and he says, these little G's that you were messing around with, they ain't the big G. And he says, I've come to introduce you to the big G. And I've come to let you in on a little secret. Those things that you worship and them little G's that you've been worshiping, God winked at it in the past. But now he's commanding you to repent. Why? Because he's appointed a day. I need everybody to hear me. God has appointed a day. God has set a date. Say, preacher, when is that date? The Bible says that no man knows. But there is a day. Say, the Bible says even the Son doesn't know. There is a day, though. God has appointed a day. It might be tomorrow. Oh, I need somebody to help me. It might be tonight. It might be next week. I hope he holds off until after we have steak dinner. Amen. But it could be. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. You and I don't know the day. But what we do know from Scripture is that there is a day appointed. You say, well, preacher, this was almost 2,000 years ago that Paul stood on Mars Hill and was preaching this, and God ain't come back yet. Did you not hear the Scripture? Have you not read the Scripture that says even 1,000 years is as a day unto the Lord?
That's right. Come on.
Oh, I need somebody to help me. We ain't even 2 days into this thing, and you all worried about God ain't not showed up yet. Is it all right? I know that ain't good English. All right. I'm sorry. Don't none of y'all fix me today, all right? All right. I have an understanding. Somebody said yesterday, they said, what English or what language do you speak? And I said, I'm not sure. Because he hath appointed, got me tickled. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will, oh, y'all can do better than that. In the which he will, he's going to judge the world. In other words, there's a time that this unknown God that you don't know anything about is going to come and he's going to judge this world. We don't like that. I need somebody to help me. Ain't nobody like standing in front of a judge unless you are a lawyer and getting paid to. The rest of us, can I get a witness? We don't want to be there. World don't want to be in front of a judge. Why? Because a judge has a standard that he has to stick to, and it doesn't matter how pretty you are. It doesn't matter how sweet you are. It doesn't matter how nice and how kind your voice sounds. Is everybody all right? When you stand before the judge, he has a standard that you are judged by. In our country, it's called the law, unless you're a Democrat. I'll move over on this side. I could feel liberalism hurting me over there. I'm sorry. In the which will he would judge the world in righteousness. Amen. By that man whom he hath ordained. God not only has appointed a day, but he has chosen a man.
Right.
He has ordained that man. Yep. That man, I need somebody to help me, is Jesus. That's who God's going to send. I don't know if I'm even going to get to the message. That man is who God's going to send. So while you sit here and claim to know Jesus, you need to know this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Before you start thinking Jesus won't turn nobody away, you need to remember in Scripture that there was a rich man that came to Jesus, a rich young ruler, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, you go and sell everything you have, take up your cross and follow me, and he went away sad. I need somebody to hear me. Jesus didn't run after him. Jesus didn't say, it'll be all right, son. Jesus did not send an apostle after him. Jesus did not send a disciple after him. Jesus did not say, let's have prayer for him. Jesus turned around and walked away from him. So before you start thinking that everything's going to be all right and you and Jesus be mates and buddies and all this other thing, you need to understand that the same one who came and died for you on that cross will be the one that God sends back to judge this world. If you had a problem and didn't believe it was about Jesus, let's go ahead and finish the Scripture. The Bible says, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead.
That's right.
I need somebody to help me. Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That was Jesus. Is everybody all right? Paul, if he had you confused and you didn't know what man he was talking about, he cleared it all up at the end of the verse and said that there was one that was raised from the dead and he has given every man assurance. Hey! Before you start saying that he died on the cross and he ain't coming back, just know this. He resurrected. He was seen by over 500. And so one day he's coming back. Paul was so bold. I was looking in other places of scripture. These guys would get thrown in prison and they come out of prison and their prayer would be, oh God, that you would give us boldness to stand back up and be thrown in prison again. We ain't talking about no sissies. We ain't talking about no little boys. We talking about a man that stood in front of a bunch of men that did not believe like he did, but he gave them the truth. He didn't give them, though, I need some help. He didn't give them the truth to upset them. He didn't give them the truth because he was trying to prove how intellectual he was. He gave them the truth because without it, they'll die and go to hell. Without the truth, they'll die and go to hell. Real quickly, I want you to notice three things about the scripture, and I'll be done. I want you to notice, first off, their ignorance recognized. The Bible says that they had these devotions that they were going to, and they were looking at these little G's, if you will. Their ignorance recognized. Do you realize today that you and I live in the same type of society that Athens was back in Paul's day? We live in a day and time where people worship everything but the true and living God. They worship themselves. Somebody better help me. I'm going to jump down off of here, bust open this gut that I got, this thing that I got done, and y'all have to take me to the hospital. Is everybody all right? The ignorance that is recognized, I want you to recognize it this morning. I want you to understand that we live in the same society that Paul was preaching to right here. We live in a society that's so full of self and so wants to be everything to be about them that they make up their own laws, they make up their own rules, they make up their own religion. If I've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times when somebody says, that's not how I interpret Scripture. It doesn't matter how you interpret Scripture. God has one meaning and one meaning only. There's one interpretation and one interpretation only. And when God said there is no other way, then I need somebody to help me. There is no other way.
Amen.
We made up these lies. We made up these idols. We say we're going to do good. We're going to be morally right. We're going to act good. We're going to be decent people, but we're not decent people. Right. Matter of fact, God addresses this and he says, even if you put on all the good that you can on the outside, he said, God looks on the inside. And he said, in old times you have heard these things. He said, but now I say unto you, if you think these things, then you sin.
That's right.
I need somebody to help me. There's a lot of things that I can control on the outside. But this right here, I need somebody to help me. My thought life, it better be right. It better have the right root or there's going to be some bad fruit. I need somebody to help me. So God, here he is talking to these men. He is telling them, he is saying, you are worshiping everything in the world. You've got a God for this. You've got a God for that. You've got a God. I need somebody to help me. Man, we are coming up on football season. We done watching preseason now. I mean, I've been reading about my Bulldogs and their scrimmages and all of this other stuff. Josh come up to me. Josh, where you at? Is Josh here? Josh come up to me Wednesday night and he said, preacher, our annual trip down to Jacksonville, I got a good feeling about it. Why? Did we get good parking or something? He's a Gator fan. I go to a football game with a Gator fan and sit on the Gator sideline. I need somebody to help me in all my red. I'm like Paul in Mars Hill. You worship the unknown God.
Amen.
Hey. Help us. Help us. He come up to me. He said, "Preacher, I got a good feeling about this year." I said, "We must have good parking and good seats. I don't know. I don't know, because I don't know why any Gator fan would have any good feelings right now." I stand in the middle of them, Jesse, all in red. Now, I'll be honest, I have stood there with my head down, but it's been a long time. I ain't afraid of the enemy. And their ignorance. I want you to recognize this morning. I want you to listen to me. I know we've been joking and I've been having a good time with it, but I want you to know something. This world is in the same condition that Athens was in. Football season's coming up on us. You want to see an idol? It's going to be worshipped every Friday night. It's worshipped every Friday night. I need somebody to help me. Every Saturday, every Sunday is worship. Every Monday, every Thursday, it's going to be worship. Somebody help me. Now, listen, I ain't against it because I love football. Y'all know I do. I'll be at all the games on Friday night. I'll be watching the games on Saturday. I'll watch the games on Sunday. I'll watch them on Monday and Thursday. I ain't one of them people that are thinking that I'm on what do they call it when you don't watch them? Thank you. Boycotting them. I love football. Put two kids out there 8 years old and I want to see them hit each other. I need somebody else. It's just my raising. With pads on, Brother Dan. With pads on. But you'll find, if you'll look around, you'll find there's a lot of ignorance in today. There's a lot of people that are worshiping idols just like they did back in Athens. And so Paul addresses it. And he reveals the identity of that unknown God. He reveals the identity of that unknown God. And he tells him, he starts from the beginning. I don't know if y'all recognize this. I think it's in verse number 23. There you go. He started at the beginning. No, go to verse 24. Look where he starts off. God that made the world and all things therein. In other words, Paul starts this whole thing off and he says, "You ain't messing with just some little old G." He said, I better not say it. But he says, you are talking about the Creator. The one that made the whole world and all things that are in it. I need somebody to help me. He said it because Paul had met this big G. He'd met him in Scripture. He'd met him in person on the road to Damascus. Paul had experiences that he could tell others about. Right. Stay with me right here, all right? In other words, somebody's got to reveal the identity of the one true God. And if you think that it's just enough to identify it inside the four walls of this building, then you are mistaken. Paul did it according to Scripture in the synagogue. He did it according to Scripture to the devout men. He did it according to Scripture in the marketplace. In other words, as he daily went about his day, he told others about God. Now listen, it might all scare you and you might say, "Well, I can't quote all that Scripture and I can't remember all that stuff." But listen here, if you're saved in this building and you have had an experience with God, we can go through all through Scripture and we can talk about the Abrahams of Scripture. We can talk about the Jacobs and the Moses and the Davids and the Elijahs and the Elishas and the apostles and the disciples and those that were touched and the woman by the well. We can just go on and on and on about people that had an experience, but the truth is, every person that's saved in this building, you met God on a personal level and you have an experience with Him, and you can stand up just like Paul and say, "He created it all and all things that are therein. He created me. He came to me in my deepest and darkest hour when nobody else wanted anything to do with me, when nobody else had time for me. God showed up where I was at. He loved me when nobody else would love me. He showed me he loved me by dying on a cross for me. As he hung on that cross and his blood ran down that cross, it was pure blood. It was precious blood. It was blood that is capable and powerful enough to cleanse all men from their sins. And that day, I believed on Jesus Christ because he died on that cross for me. He was buried in that tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. God put a stamp of approval on what was done at Calvary. And he said, I will finish what I started. One day he's coming back. Clouds are going to part. He's going to step out on the clouds. He's going to call me to glory. And I'm going. Whether it's 6 feet under or whether I'm still standing here on this earth, I will go to be with the one that saved me.
Amen.
Somebody got to tell him about it.
Right.
We're living in a day of ignorance. Recognize it. But somebody's got to reveal his identity. Somebody's got to tell him about him. Somebody's got to talk. Somebody's got to open their mouth.
That's right.
Well, I'm just going to live my life. Look, we've watched you live your life. It ain't leading nobody to Jesus.
Amen.
Hold on. They in shock right now, Brother Dan. Would you let that just pass over for a minute? Preacher, but we should be. Oh, I agree 100%. But the problem is there's an unknown God out there in this world today.
That's right.
Say, preacher, we live in the Bible Belt. Turn the news on. People, we live in the Bible Belt. Everybody knows about Jesus. They can go up and down I-75 and know about Jesus. They know about a man named Jesus.
That's right.
They need to know about a God named Jesus that created it all. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 4, all things were created by him and for him, for his pleasure.
That's right. Come on.
The identity revealed. And then lastly, the instructions that were relayed. Go back to verse number 30 and 31. Please, ma'am, 30 if you will. He said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, I need somebody to help me with this word, commandeth. What does it mean? Come on, help me. It's not a request. I like it. It's not a suggestion. I like it. Huh? It's a requirement. In other words, if I want to be saved, I've got to... Oh, I need somebody to help me. Y'all going to have to get quiet. No, are y'all scared? I feel like I'm in class and nobody wants to answer the question. But now commandeth all men everywhere to do what?
Repent.
To repent. Jesse, stand up. Dalton, stand up. Who y'all want to be, Jesus, Jesse or Dalton? Call it. Hurry. Jesse. All right, Jesse's Jesus. What? It's a beard. It's a beard. It's definitely the beard. I was born. Listen to me. I was born. And for a time, in my ignorance, is everybody with me? For a time, in my lack of accountability, I was still close to Jesus. David said this about his son that died with Bathsheba. He says, I can't go. He says, a child can't come to me, but I will go to him. In other words, when that child died, he went to heaven. Is everybody all right? So as a child, I was okay. But I was getting farther and farther away from him. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says, for all the sin to come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Say, preacher, you quote them verses every service and you still ain't learned them.
Amen.
Our sin came from Adam. It was passed down, one blood. Everybody remember that in the scripture? One blood, it was passed down. Adam corrupted that blood in the garden.
Yep.
Jesus came and introduced new blood. His blood wasn't from man. His blood was from the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that she conceived of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus shed his blood, the difference between his blood, my blood, your blood, Adam's blood, is our blood's corrupt. His was pure, undefiled.
Right.
That's why his blood is capable of saving. Is everybody with me? I need somebody to hear me. You got it all mixed up.
That's right.
You thought it was a fairy tale about that virgin birth. And you think it's all right when Bibles take it out of their scriptures. Everybody all right? But it ain't.
Right.
It wasn't a young woman, it was a virgin. That's doctrinal. The reason it's doctrinal is because he didn't have the same blood, you and I. One nation, right? Made of one blood, all nations, right? Jesus didn't have our blood. That's why Jesus, when he offered that blood up in heaven, God said, satisfied. If he'd have brought Adam's blood, he'd have said, no, you're going to hell. If he'd have brought my blood, your blood, he said, no, it ain't good enough. But Jesus' blood was. All right, now let me get back to my illustration. I'm walking away. As I grow, I'm getting worse and worse. I need a parent of a child to say amen. That child, the only time that child's ever an angel is when they first come out.
Amen.
From that point on, they're being transformed into a devil.
That's right.
I need somebody to help me. Quit lying to yourself. There comes a point in time where that child knows right from wrong.
Right.
It's probably somewhere around here, but they still covered. But there comes a time when that child knows the truth.
That's right.
That there is an eternity. Say, well, somebody's got to teach them. The Bible says the heavens declare his glory. I need somebody to help me.
Hallelujah.
Ain't nobody in this world ever born an atheist.
Amen.
Y'all better quit believing all that crap they telling y'all. Ain't nobody born an atheist. The Bible says the heavens declare his glory. How many of you has walked outside before and go, oh, my word.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but if y'all ain't never done it, come join me and Michelle on the afternoon out there in my backyard.
That's right.
As we look across that sky, look across that pond, you say, oh, my goodness.
Amen.
What an artist God is.
That's right.
My spirit bears witness.
Right.
There comes a time when that child knows.
Right.
And that child is held accountable. But that child keeps walking away. And they grow up to be a dumb teenager. I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
I said that for the teenagers. Say, preacher, don't be calling us dumb. I'll call you dumb because I was.
Amen.
I need some parents to say amen.
Amen.
I need some adults that ain't got no kids to say amen.
Amen.
17, 18 years old, we were dumb.
Amen.
16 years old, we were dumb. I mean, somebody help me.
Amen.
16 years old, I'm going to move out of the house. It's all going to be better. Move out of the house, I had to pay my own bills. It wasn't better. As I get older, I need somebody to help me. I'm constantly moving away from and moving towards sin. Sorry, son, they picked it. Moving towards sin. More and more, more and more, more and more, I'm grabbing. The Bible says, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The word repent literally means to do an about face. Somewhere along your life, for me it was September 28, 1997, I did an about face. I stopped walking away from him. I started walking towards him. I ain't perfect. There's still some distance between me. I'm supposed to be conformed to his image. And I'm working on it the best that I can, but I need somebody to help me. There's a long distance there that I got to cover.
Amen.
And I'm stubborn as most of you are. So every now and then, I ain't going to say I look back, but every now and then I stumble, Jesse. Every now and then I fall.
Amen.
It takes me a little bit. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Don't get upset. Because your journey ain't as far as somebody else or their journey ain't as far as yours. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back up. Sometimes it blows so bad, it leaves me hurting.
Amen.
But through this life, I'm walking best I know how. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus.
That's right. Come on.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
That don't happen. I need somebody to help me. That don't happen because you felt good about yourself over here.
Amen.
That happens because you recognize who you are.
Right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. I keep going in that direction. That judgment that's coming in verse 31. I'm going to stand there uncovered in my own righteousnesses, as the Bible calls it. They're like filthy rags. And for those of you that don't know what that is, you'll not get that lesson today, but it ain't pretty. It's what God thinks of all of our good deeds. but his righteousness. The Bible says he'll judge the world in righteousness.
Amen.
His righteousness. As I, when I made that about face, Dalton, run go get my jacket. Hurry, 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 hurry. We got to hurry. You're taking too much time. Here you go. Put that on me. September 28, 1997. Come with me. I was walking away just fast as I could, right? Heard a message, stopped me in my tracks. Repented. Got covered.
Amen.
Got covered in a robe of righteousness. Started moving back this way, as filthy as I am. But one day I'll stand before him, and he'll judge the world in
righteousness.
Y'all better help. He's going to judge the world in
righteousness.
And what I got on?
Robe of righteousness.
My robe of
righteousness.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Doc. I'm going to be judged according to
his righteousness.
Woo! I'm going to be judged, not according to me.
Amen.
World needs to know. We're commanded.
Yes.
We're commanded to let them know. Why? Because it's coming a day.
That's right.
Hey, I don't know who's up there on the sound, but help me out. Go ahead and start that thing. You bow your heads with me this morning. Time to get this thing settled. It's time to stop playing games. It's time to stop chasing after these little G's and moral victories. It's time to start looking to the one that created it.
That's right.
The one that created you. The one that created it all. It's time for you to repent. It's time for you to do an about face. It's time for you to get this thing right. Don't you stand before God in your righteousness. You'll never stand. According to Scripture, you'll be cast into the lake of fire because your name is not found written down. This morning, let's get this thing right. If you're in this building this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to lift your hand up where I can see it. I'll let you put it back down. I'm not going to thank you. You can put your hand down. Is anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. Not going to embarrass you or send anybody to you. Is there anybody else that'd be honest with me? Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not ready to stand in judgment before God. I'm not ready to stand before him. Is there anybody else? I'm asking you to be honest. That's important, probably the most important part of the service.
Amen.
Now is where we take what we heard, apply it to our lives, and leave out of here differently. Do you know? The day has been appointed. It may be today. Are you ready? Because according to Scripture, when that day comes, you will stand before that judge.
Amen.
The world will stand before that judge. And what you're clothed in is your righteousness. You will fall short. Anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Listen, this morning, we've had one that's raised their hand. If I missed the other one, I'm sorry. But the invitation is to you as well. This morning, I want to introduce you to the same God that I met back September 28, 1997, that changed my life. This morning, if you'll let me do that, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come here. Won't you come? Please, I'm begging you. Don't chance that appointed day in front of that appointed judge without having on that robe of righteousness. I know it sounds rough. I know you think everybody's going to be looking at you, but nobody's looking. this was the same type of invitation that I was given when I came. So I'm not asking you to do something I didn't do. Jesus loves you. He knew you was going to be here, and he wants to save you this morning. He's already paid the price. The penalty has been taken care of. Won't you come? Let me show you from the Bible what your part in this is. Won't you come? My wife's waiting. Where's she at? Won't you come? Please. I'm begging you. Listen, the invitation's still open, but I want to talk to Christians now. A lot of people in this building claiming to be Christians. Living in a society that's ignorant to who the true God is. We need some people of boldness. We need some folks that are not afraid to stand up when everybody else is sitting down. We need some folks that are willing to stand up and speak when everybody else is being silent. We need some people that are willing to say, "Thus saith the Lord." God has commanded all, everywhere, to repent. Won't you pray in your seats, Christian? God, give me the boldness. God, give me the boldness. Pray it. God, give me the boldness to declare who you are to a world that does not recognize you. God, give me the boldness to declare to a world who you are, because they don't recognize you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, you've done a wonderful thing today. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for our services. Thank you for the people, the visitors that are here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, nobody leaves empty. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, nobody leaves without a word. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage every believer, every person in here. For the one that's lost, Lord, I pray that they know. Lord, the invitation doesn't end because the service does. Lord, I'd be happy to take a Bible and show somebody how to be saved after the service. My wife, my family, people around this church would be eager to show someone from Scripture how they too can be saved. We love you. We pray all these things in the lovely name of Jesus. And the church said, amen.